So think about the last time you had to move.
Oh, man.
Right. It is just, it's universally dreadful. You've got the dust everywhere, the endless rolls of packing tape, and you're just staring at this massive pile of cardboard boxes in your living room.
It's completely exhausting, just physically and mentally.
Exactly. And usually artists, they spend their entire careers trying to hide that kind of messy, chaotic process behind like a veil of pure genius.
Yeah, they were there. We do.
They want you to see the finished, perfectly polished masterpiece on the wall. They definitely don't want you to see the chaotic, messy, unsealed cardboard boxes that actually got them there.
Right. Keep the struggle hidden.
Exactly. But today, we are looking at a Colombian artist who does, well, he does the exact opposite. He treats his art like a massive, unsealed cardboard box of his most vulnerable
He
memories.
really does.
And he's actively inviting you to just look inside and dig through it. So welcome to the deep dive.
It is a completely counterintuitive way to approach art, honestly, but it's incredibly effective. Today, we are analyzing this really striking prologue.
Yeah, it's beautifully written.
It is. It's written by Manuel Tiberio Bermudez,
Yeah.
and he wrote this for a very unique art book titled Traste o Pintura Artística, which it showcases the work of the Colombian artist Jairo Duque.
And our mission for this deep dive is to really figure out how Duque, who, by the way, came to the art world much later in life, which is super interesting, how he takes this grueling, chaotic, and completely mundane act of packing up your belongings and transforms it.
Right, into something much bigger.
Exactly, into this profound framework for understanding life and art and just like radical vulnerability. Okay, let's unpack this, both literally and figuratively.
I see what you did there. So to really understand that framework, we have to start with the title itself, Traspio.
Trust you. Yeah.
Bermudez highlights this word specifically in the prologue.
Right.
He calls it a beautiful Colombianismo, which is a distinct Colombian expression.
Yeah.
And in its most functional, everyday sense, a trastio is just, it's a move.
Like changing houses.
Exactly. It's the physical chore of putting your objects into boxes, hauling them to a truck, and, relocating them to a new space.
So it's just the logistics of it all.
Yeah, logistics, dust, heavy lifting, the boring stuff.
But Duke really stretches that definition, I think. Because, I mean, a move is never just
And
logistics.
definitely not.
Anyone who has ever had to pack up a house knows that the physical labor is like completely secondary to the emotional labor.
Oh,
You
100%.
don't just pack plates, You're packing the history of every single dinner you had on those plates.
That's a great way to put it.
Or like it's like opening old boxes in an attic. You pick up an old jacket, maybe you haven't worn it in a decade, and you have to evaluate the person you were when you bought it.
And decide if that person's coming with you.
Exactly. You have to decide if that version of yourself is coming to the new house. It's exhausting because it forces you into this sudden, really intense reckoning with your own identity.
Which brings up a really critical piece of context for Duke himself. His formal journey into painting didn't actually begin until 2016.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so when you start an artistic career later in life, you aren't starting with a blank slate.
You already have a whole life behind you.
Right. You have decades of accumulated experiences. You've got regrets, joys, shifting moods, all of it.
Yeah.
And this book represents his vital journey from that specific turning point in 2016 right up to the present day. He isn't curating like a standard portfolio of pretty pictures.
Right. He's actively packing his lived memories into the pages of this book.
Exactly. If we connect this to the bigger picture, Bermudez draws a really sharp line in the prologue regarding Duke's motivation for doing this.
What does he say?
He notes that Traspio is an act of absolute honesty. It is completely devoid of the fear of criticism.
That's so rare. Most artists are terrified of criticism.
Oh, absolutely. But for Duke, it's not about seeking applause. It's about recognizing that life is an exercise that must leave a mark, a legacy, no matter how small.
And I think that distinction completely changes how we consume his work.
Oh, so.
Well, when your goal is applause, you act like a museum curator, right? You only put your best, most polished self on display.
Right, you hide all the messy sketches.
Exactly. But when your goal is legacy, you have to document the totality of the experience, the ugly, right alongside the beautiful.
You're hitting on the core mechanism of the book there. To leave an honest footprint, you cannot sanitize the past.
Right.
Bermudez points out that Duke shows himself simply as the protagonist of his own work. There are no pretensions.
He's just putting it all out there.
He shares his loves, his pains, and his shifting moods across these different eras of his life.
It almost feels like he's treating his emotional life like open source software, you know?
Oh, I like that analogy.
Yeah, he's taking the source code of his own anxiety and his own joy and just publishing it for anyone to see and use, which kind of makes me wonder about the viewer's role in this whole dynamic.
Yeah, what's their part in the move?
Right. Is Duke just moving his art from his private studio out to the public? Or is he effectively forcing the viewer to confront and unpack their own emotional furniture?
Well, the prologue suggests it's a very generous invitation for the viewer to do exactly that.
Really?
Yeah. By stripping away his own ego, Duke removes the intimidation factor that, you know, so often separates an audience from fine art.
Fine art can be super intimidating.
Completely.
Yeah.
But when someone hands you the messy box of their life and says, hey, here is what I've been carrying, the natural human response is to look at your own hands.
And realize what you've been carrying, too.
Exactly. He elevates this really mundane chore of moving into a generous act of shared self-analysis.
That emotional openness is fascinating. But what really anchors this deep dive for me is how Duke physically manifests that vulnerability on the actual page.
Right, the transition from theory to practice.
Yeah, because his emotional transparency isn't just a theme in the paintings. It actually dictates his technical process.
Yes.
His technique is just as naked as his emotions.
Because the how is entirely driven by the why. Bermudez places a really heavy emphasis on the fact that Duke is a self-taught artist.
He learned on his own.
Yes. The prologue uses the word auto-apprentissage. He completely bypassed the traditional rigid academy of fine arts.
Which, I mean, that usually comes with a heavy obsession over perfection, right? Classical rules preserving this sort of elite status.
Precisely. And because he didn't absorb those institutional rules, he also didn't absorb the pretension that usually accompanies them.
That makes a lot of sense.
The prologue explicitly states that Duke refuses to manipulate an image just to beautify it. He confronts reality exactly as his gaze dictates.
And exactly as the physical space of the paper allows, right?
If the reality he's painting is ugly or chaotic or unresolved, then the painting will be ugly, chaotic, and unresolved. He isn't interested in applying an aesthetic filter to the truth.
He's not doing it for the Instagram likes.
Not at all.
And he even goes a step further by breaking the fourth wall of his own craft. Bermudez points out that Duke openly shares the absolute intimacies of his work.
He really holds nothing back.
He doesn't. He tells the reader the whys behind his creative decisions. He details the specific types of paper he uses. He even reveals his buenos trucos, the good tricks of the trade he relies on to achieve his vision.
That level of disclosure is incredibly rare in the art world.
Wait, let me push back on that approach, though.
Okay.
Because I understand the philosophical appeal of radical transparency. I really do. But historically, artists usually guard their techniques, like magicians guarding their illusions.
Sure, they want to protect their intellectual property, essentially.
Right. Renaissance masters kept their pigment recipes under lock and key. A master chef doesn't just hand out the recipe for their signature sauce. Why give away the good tricks? Doesn't stripping away the mystery ruin the magic for the viewer?
It's a valid question.
Like, if I know exactly what paper you bought at the art supply store and exactly how you manipulated the brush, doesn't the art just become a mundane set of instructions?
Well, what's fascinating here is that in a traditional framework, yes, the mystery is treated as part of the product.
Right.
But what makes Duke's approach so compelling is that the transparency is the mechanism that creates the magic.
Okay, walk me through that.
Think about what secrecy actually accomplishes. When an artist hides their process, they establish a hierarchy.
They're on top.
Exactly. They position themselves as the genius creator, and they position you as the passive, awestruck observer who could just never comprehend their brilliance.
So by revealing his tricks, he's actively dismantling that hierarchy.
Completely. He's placing himself on equal footing with the audience. He invites you into a partnership rather than giving you a lecture.
Oh, wow.
And he manages to do this while still taking massive, bold risks in the final execution of the painting. He isn't playing it safe just because he showed you the tools he used to build it.
Which brings us to perhaps the most intense part of his technical process, which is his use of color.
Yes, the color is huge.
Bermudez describes Duke's color in very visceral, almost physical terms. Sometimes it rebukes the viewer. It actively scolds us.
It can be very aggressive.
And other times it produces such deep resonance that it causes actual goosebumps. And this is where we have to connect the dots between his painting technique and the real world.
Right.
Because the prologue makes a very strong, very surprising claim. It says, "This specific, powerful use of color is designed to push us out into the streets to practice solidarity."
Yes, solidarity.
A human value that Bermudez notes is diluting in modern times.
That connection between a stroke of paint on a piece of paper
yeah.
and real-world human solidarity, I mean, it might seem like a massive conceptual leap.
It does.
But it is actually the logical endpoint of Duke's entire Trastio philosophy.
Walk me through that causality, though.
Yeah.
How does a scolding color on a piece of paper actually generate modern human solidarity?
Let's think about the mechanics of what happens when you look at one of his paintings.
Okay.
If Duke uses a jarring, aggressive clash of bold reds and heavy blacks, a color palette that actively rebukes you, he is forcing you to feel a very specific, raw human anxiety.
Because it's visually stressful.
Right. And because he has already dismantled the artist-viewer hierarchy by sharing his techniques and his flaws, you don't just view that anxiety from a safe distance.
Oh, I see.
You experience it alongside him. You share his vulnerability.
So it creates this sort of extreme empathy.
Exactly. And what is the natural, real-world output of extreme empathy? It is solidarity.
Right.
When you close that book and walk out onto the street, you are suddenly hyper-aware that the person passing you is carrying their own heavy boxes.
They have their own anxieties, their own clashing colors.
Yes. By tearing down the walls around his own artistic process, he is trying to tear down the walls that isolate us in modern society.
But that creates a massive logistical problem for an artist, doesn't it?
How so?
Well, if your goal is that profound, if you are relying on visual art to generate real-world solidarity and radical empathy, how do you guarantee the audience doesn't just walk right past your trauma?
That is the big risk.
Because visual art is notoriously subjective. Someone could look at that jarring, aggressive red painting designed to rebuke them, and they might just think, oh, what an interesting shade of crimson. That would look great in my living room.
Yeah, they might totally miss the point. And that is the inherent risk of the medium. An audience can easily miss the message entirely if they only engage with the surface aesthetics.
So how does he fix that?
Which brings us to how Trastio is actually structured as a physical book. It's not just a gallery of standalone images. It is this intricate interplay between Duke's paintings and his own writing.
And Bermudez does not sugarcoat the reality of this format in the prologue, by the way. He bluntly admits that art books can often be incredibly tedious.
They really can be.
Yeah.
They tend to be dry, overly academic, or they just feel like a chore you have to slog through to get the pictures.
I mean, we've all seen those massive, heavy art books on a coffee table that literally no one ever opens.
Exactly. It's just decoration.
But Bermudez argues that Duke cures this tedium through narrative beauty. The text doesn't just sit next to the painting like a sterile museum label detailing the year and the medium.
No, it does much more.
The text complements the visual art so deeply that it creates an entirely other painting one that we actually read.
The concept of another painting made entirely of words is just brilliant.
It is.
Bermudez notes that this text actively guides the observer's gaze.
Mm.
It actually helps us follow the creator's eyes.
Which we need.
We do. Crucially, it saves us from our own limited perception. Because the reality is, we constantly miss the best parts of a visual work. We look, but we fail to truly interpret.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because it's a very humble, very necessary admission for an art critic to make in a prologue. Left to our own devices, our perception is limited. We need a guide.
We really do.
It makes me think about wandering through a massive, quiet art museum. You know the environment? The white walls, the echoing footsteps, the physical distance the architecture puts between you and the art.
Very sterile.
Super sterile. You walk up to a canvas, you stare at it for 15 seconds, you read a tiny placard that says, you know, oil on canvas 2018, and you move on feeling almost nothing.
Yeah, it's a very detached experience.
But imagine if the artist was standing right next to you in that gallery, whispering in your ear, saying, look at how the shadow falls in that bottom corner. That is where I hid my grief the year my entire life changed.
Oh, wow.
Suddenly, the entire mechanical structure of the painting shifts for you. It comes alive.
The physical intimacy of the book format allows Duke to be that whispering artist for every single reader.
But this raises a really critical question for me regarding subjectivity.
Okay, what is it?
If an artist gives us a beautiful narrative explaining their pain, do they risk telling us exactly what to feel? Does giving us all this text rob us of our own unique personal interpretation?
This raises an important question. And honestly, it is the eternal debate in the art world. Does context destroy subjectivity?
Right. If you tell me what it means, I don't get to figure it out for myself.
Exactly. But the prologue addresses this tension beautifully. Bermudez clarifies that Duke's text does not dictate emotion. It augments it.
So it's not like a leash pulling you to a specific mandatory conclusion.
No, it is a flashlight. The narrative transports us through the paths of an emotion that is already present in the painting, heightening our impression of it.
I love that. A flashlight.
Yeah. The text provides new paths and new criteria for the viewer, allowing us to traverse the artwork with a more informed gaze. It doesn't tell you what the painting must mean to you.
It tells you what it meant to him.
Exactly, which gives you a much richer vocabulary to figure out your own reaction.
And that delicate balance is perfectly captured in a specific quote from the prologue. It is the defining metaphor of Duke's responsibility as an artist.
It's a beautiful line.
It really is. He says his job is to, quote, trust in the silence of the paper and let the light say what is essential.
Trust in the silence of the paper.
Mm-hmm.
It takes your breath away.
It actually gave me pause when I first read it, though, because it feels almost contradictory to everything else we've discussed today.
Contradictory how?
Well, we just spent all this time exploring how he uses narrative text, how he loudly gives away his technical tricks, how he refuses to hide anything. He is a very vocal artist.
He is.
But his defining metaphor is about trusting the silence of the paper. How do those two concepts coexist?
It is a beautiful paradox, and I think it perfectly resolves the concern you just raised about the text dictating the viewer's experience.
Okay.
Think about what paper actually is. Before the ink, before the paint, it is a blank, silent void.
Right.
Duke does all the heavy lifting. He packs the emotional boxes, he unpacks them in front of you, he gives you his textual narrative, and he uses colors that demand solidarity. But ultimately, the paper itself remains silent.
It doesn't scream a singular demand at you.
No. It just holds space.
It holds space.
Exactly. It holds space for the light, the essential truth of the artwork, to finally speak. He provides the ideal environment for connection, but he leaves enough silence for the viewer's own humanity to fill in the gaps.
So he creates the spark, but he trusts the light to do the illuminating.
Yes. He gives you the blueprint, but you still have to build the house. Or, you know, in the context of Trastio, he packs the boxes and shows you what's inside. But you have to decide where to put them in your own mind.
That fundamentally changes how you interact with a piece of art. You aren't passively consuming images anymore. You are engaging in a real active dialogue with a man who has laid his entire messy, unapologetic existence out on the table.
Which is exactly why Bermudez concludes his prologue with such a warm, hopeful invocation.
It's a great ending to the prologue.
It is. He asks the reader to receive Trastio not just as a standard catalog of paintings, but as a true compendium of emotions and color. He welcomes Duke's brave expression in both ink and color, and he wishes that the fates of books guide this specific work far and wide through the paths of the world.
So, what does this all mean? When we step back and look at the totality of what we've explored today, you know, the Colombian concept of the Trastio, this late-blooming journey that values legacy way more than applause, the radical sharing of the good tricks, and that profound trust in the silence of the paper.
It's a lot to take in.
It is. But what we are really looking at is a masterclass in how to be a human being in a world that constantly begs us to hide our true selves.
Absolutely.
Duke proves that the accumulation of our experiences, especially the messy ones, the painful ones, they are not things to be locked away in an attic. They are the very materials we need to build solidarity with each other.
He reclaims the pure exhaustion of moving and turns it into a necessary, beautiful exercise in legacy. You have to pack up the old to move into the new, but you don't have to pretend the old boxes don't exist.
You can just open them up.
You can open them up, share the contents, and realize you aren't the only one carrying a heavy load.
Which brings us back to you, listening to this right now. We started by picturing that grueling physical process of moving. The packing tape, the dust, the overwhelming choices of what to keep and what to throw away.
It's a universal feeling.
It is. But if we take Jairo Duke's philosophy to heart, and if Trastio is really the act of packing up our internal lives to share with the world, what would your own personal Trastio look like? If you had to pack up your defining memories today, what would you choose to bring with you? And what hidden truths would the silence of the paper reveal about the things you chose to leave behind?